Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The McStay's body's skeletal remains were found on Monday by a motorcycle rider who was traveling through the area of Victorville off I-15. The bones were sticking out of the ground. The motorcycle rider reported that to police as investigators were trying to determine exactly what happened here. There were two different grave sites, according to police and sheriff's investigators. They used dental records to identify the two adults, Joseph and Summer. And as far as the children, DNA tests will be done to determine their absolute identities. But again, police do believe it's them.
This is unbelievable. Welcome to the program. It's not a pretty sight, but it happened tonight. A family of four, two young children, a three-year-old, a four-year-old, a mother and a father. They go missing 4 years ago in San Diego. They leave the house. They leave their dogs. Nothing was touched in their bank accounts. Eggs were found cooking on their stove. Today, their graves were found by a motorcyclist driving off-road in the desert. Shallow grave in Southern California's Mojave Desert, belonging to this family, missing since 2010. Of course, they were murdered. The skeletal remains of Joseph McStay, 40, Summer, 43, 60 miles east of L.A. But what's more disturbing is their two young boys, Johnny, 4, and Joseph, 3, were found in another grave. You look at their pictures. They're an American family. They're your family. God forbid my family. Who would do a thing like this? Where is this evil coming from in our world that someone would slay a family and throw them into a shallow grave? I looked at this story and I said, well, it's an atrocity. How can I deal with a story like this on the radio? I'm going to ask people to just speculate. Yes, I'm going to ask America to speculate for a few minutes on the show, and I'll tell you why. Every one of you knows this. In this audience, there are retired police, retired detectives. There are criminals. There are murderers. There are saints who listen to this show. There are people maybe who are as disturbed as I am by this story, who may shed some light on it in a public forum that they would never dare shed in a private forum. Coupled with this story of horror on the Savage Nation is something coming out of the Middle East. Remember the Syrian rebels who McCain and Lindsey Graham wanted us to support with bombs and bullets and American airplanes? Well, they actually decapitated, that is, cut the head off one of their own allies as he lay in a hospital bed, because while he was under anesthesia, he muttered something about Shia rather than Sunni, or something about Sunnis rather than Shia. I have no idea what he said, but they proudly are displaying his head. They cut it off in the hospital. Is this the world that we live in today? How can we be disturbed about such trivial things in our lives, I ask ourselves, when you see the bones of a young family like this found in a desert? Evil seems to be afoot in the world. It's the most disturbing story I've seen not only this week, but all year. And I realize you didn't hear anything about this today on any of the other shows, because the story just broke this evening. Two of four sets of remains found in the desert, identified as Joseph and Summer McStay and their two little children. The two family dogs were left behind. People who knew the family said they were a loving, normal family. At the time of their disappearance, the family even left popcorn, just popped, in two bowls in the living room. There were also rotten eggs found on the kitchen counter. By all accounts, it looked as if the family made a hasty, unplanned retreat. There were no signs of a struggle or forced entry. No blood was found. The couple did not have financial problems and reportedly had more than $100,000 in the bank. Right? The mystery only deepened when investigators believed they uncovered video of what looked like the McStays crossing the border into Mexico. It was seen at the time to adults and two children. However, their identities on that videotape were never confirmed. 4 days after the family was reported missing, their SUV was found parked at a shopping mall in San Diego, steps from the Mexico border. The investigation into the remains blew up today when a motorcyclist discovered them in a shallow grave near Highway 15 in the desert. Authorities said they were unclear how long the remains had been buried. I ask you, the Savage Nation, I don't know who you are, I don't know what your background is, what is your theory on this horrendous story of the death of an American family. It's an ordinary American family. Who would kill a father and a mother and the two children? Why would they kill a little child 3 years old and another one 4 years old and throw them into a grave? What kind of world are we living in? Is God dead? Is God dead? Is the devil in charge? 855-400-7282. First caller, Frederick in Fort Myers, Florida. Go ahead, Frederick. What's your theory on this horror?
I think I can speculate. I mean, was he somebody's money man, or was he like somebody that, was he doing a project for somebody that he didn't know what he was getting into?
I don't know. Nobody knows. They say the FBI's taken over the investigation. Nobody knows who he was. I mean, I don't even know what he did for a living, frankly. You know, that's, of course, the first question. But if you go to the Daily News, even, which I've linked up on Michael Savage, you see the little boy. It's enough to make you scream. Johnny Giuseppe IV, a little boy like this with long reddish hair, with little buck. Who would do this to a child? I don't understand this.
How did this go 3 years and we're just not hearing about it?
4 years. Well, the people in San Diego obviously knew about it. But I'm asking the question on a national show for a reason, Frederick. None of us know what happened, nor why it happened. But we're asking ourselves, I guess, a bigger question. Who the hell would do a thing like this? Why would they kill a whole family?
It sounds to me like he got into something that he wasn't, a project he wasn't supposed to be working on that went awry, and it was for somebody that wasn't a positive hire. It wasn't somebody that he should have been hired by. It was maybe a car.
All right, you're saying, okay, your theory as an ordinary American listening to this horror story, listening to the story, which, by the way, broke tonight. It's all over every major newspaper that still prints newsprint. It's on the front page of the Daily News in New York. It's going to be in every, it's on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle website. From coast to coast, people are going to be talking about it. Joseph and Summer McStay vanished from their home 4 years ago with their children, Johnny, G-I-A-N-N-I, little boy, 4, and Joseph. Today, their skeletons were found in shallow graves in the desert. Animals had disturbed the bones. I am asking you what you think went on. I got chills up and down my spine. I told you, get ready for a crazy ride on the show for the next 10, 15 minutes. I didn't plan on talking about this. I wanted to talk about all the other news from the week and from the day. But when a story like this, the slaying of an American family, occurs, you have to ask yourself, hold on now, something is wrong. Evil is afoot in the world. Where is God? Is the devil in charge? And again, I don't know who listens to my show. In a large audience like this, there are detectives, there are murderers, there are psychopaths, there are ordinary people, there are smart people, and they all have ideas. And I'm asking you to call. WABC Mike, your theory, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I believe it was the serial killer.
Why?
Because the pattern of first thing they would have to do is a victimology on the family. If there was no nefarious activity in the family before and they weren't involved in any sort of wrongdoing, then I would say it was a serial killer, because the prevalence of serial killers in Southern California, the fact that they killed children, which is indicia of a psychosadistic serial killer, and the fact that they just disappeared in such a sudden type matter.
It says on my call screener, Mike, that you're calling out of New York City. You're a retired NYPD detective, is that correct?
I'm a retired NYPD detective sergeant.
Okay. Were you in homicide?
I was not in homicide. I was a detective squad commander. I'm also a criminal justice professor at John Jay College.
All right. Well, that's pretty good bona fides for me. So from your perspective, this is a serial killer who snatches a family and kills them?
I do believe that. I do believe that they somehow left their home. They were somehow captured by these serial killers and taken and killed.
Oh, God. My God, to think there are ghouls like that walking the planet. Most of us don't think about these things, Mike. We don't want to believe this exists, do we?
No, but I do believe that if they are able to tie it to other homicides that are similar in the area, that they will get some sort of picture on who did the crime.
It's very disturbing, because everyone listening to this show who has a family or had a young family at some time knows that you've gone on road trips, knows that you've gone into sort of isolated areas, whether they be in mountains or deserts or beaches, And most fathers, when they go there, think, well, you know, is there any risk here? And they say, eh, don't be paranoid. Well, let me tell you something. Be paranoid. Be very paranoid. Get a weapon. Own a weapon. Learn how to use a weapon. Defend yourself and your family. Mike, is that bad advice? Is that paranoid advice? Or is that realistic advice?
No, I believe, sir, that that is realistic advice. And as a retired sergeant, I do carry a weapon. And I think that's the only way that you can ensure that this type of thing will not happen to you or your family.
Yes. Well, it's a very crazy night in the world. It seems the devil is loose in the world. This is the most disturbing story I've seen, I wouldn't say, in a week or a month. I mean, death is death. You say, okay, there's a devastation in the Philippines. 2,000 are dead. It couldn't have been pleasant to see them die in front of your eyes. But an act of nature is one thing. The force of nature is one thing. But this is a slaying of a whole family. The dogs were not killed. Eggs were on the stove. Popcorn was in the house. What happened here? 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. Mike on KSFO in San Francisco, what's your theory of this horror?
Hi, Mike. I think this is a case of mistaken identity, and it's drug-related. There's so many drug people in California with all the illegals. I think it's all tied together. It's a big, big problem that we've got to deal with.
Well, the first thing that entered my mind, given my biases, is that there was some drug thing involved here, okay? But do they kill little children as well?
I think these people are crazy. These drug lords from Mexico, they'll kill everybody.
Well, here's what why I say I don't believe that's a viable theory, and this is probably going to throw people off. By what I have witnessed in the news, you know, going on with Mexican mafia killings, they don't hide the bodies. They display the murder. They leave them for everyone to see in order to scare them. And in that sense, I, as a, you know, talk show host, amateur detective, in that sense, would say it doesn't have their fingerprints on it. You know?
One point.
So it leaves another a bunch of questions. We've had one call who said the McStays were killed by a serial killer. We've had another caller who said this was a drug-related killing. What do you think? 855-407-282. There are other stories, but I want to go through the callers who have some ideas. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The McStays body's skeletal remains were found on Monday by a motorcycle rider who is traveling through the area of Victorville off I-15. The bones were sticking out of the ground. The motorcycle rider reported that to police as investigators were trying to determine exactly what happened here. There were two different grave sites, according to police and sheriff's investigators. They used dental records to identify the two adults, Joseph and Summer. And as far as the children, DNA tests will be done to determine their absolute identities. But again, police do believe it's them.
Terrible, horrible, unbelievable. What comes to mind? Remains of a whole family. They are America. They're just like your family. There's a few elements of the story that make no sense to me. The father's name is Joseph McStay. The mother's name is Summer McStay. The child, though, the little four-year-old whose bones were found is Gianni Giuseppe. Giannigiuseppe. I don't understand it. I don't know why the Italian name is in there. I don't get this. I mean, does it have anything to do with it? Doesn't it? I mean, you know, come on. We're just ordinary people looking at this story. Something's wrong here. Something is wrong with this picture. Rich on KSFO has a lead in his mind owing to the low. Well, go ahead, Rich. You tell your story. What's your suspicion?
It's a pleasure, Dr. Savage. You know, I lived in about 20 years there in San Diego, and recently have moved up to Northern California because there are certain areas of San Diego that's very dangerous. San Diego is a huge county, and I'm not sure where they started or where they are living, but there's a huge drug trade either from El Cajon out of Pacific Beach or all these other areas, including North County.
Okay, their bones were found in the Mojave, outside the town of Victorville. So that doesn't mean anything.
No. But
now let's look where their house is. That's the interesting thing. Where did they live is the issue. And I don't know what you're saying here. Is you're implying that they were on some, you know, traffic route here, and maybe that's something to do with it. That's what you're implying, right?
That, yeah, yes, sir.
Well, that's the first intuition that everyone would have. You say Mexico bodies, Mexican border bodies, you immediately say drugs. I mean, that's the first logical conclusion, but is it logical? And is it the right conclusion? I don't know. We're guessing. It's all speculation. You say, well, why are you bothering with this story? Well, we should be talking about Obamacare and Obama. Because you've heard everything else. And frankly, this is rattling me. Why? Because I once had kids this age. I protected them like a lunatic. I wouldn't let them out of my sight. But still in all, what can a man do if he's in the middle of nowhere without a weapon? But they seem to have been snatched out of their house. That's the thing. Popcorn was on the stove. Eggs were found rotting in the kitchen. Their dogs were left unmolested in the backyard. Now, that doesn't sound like a drug hit by the fantasy land of movies and television. If someone comes in to kill, they usually kill the dogs, don't they? I know you don't want to dwell on it. I get it. I don't blame you. You want something humorous, funny, sarcastic, satiric. I can't do it because something's wrong with this picture. What kind of country am I living in? Is I keep asking myself, what has happened to the country? Everything is shot. No, it's not Obama. Obama didn't do it. That's not the point. There seems to be a loss of sanity at every level. God is dead. God is dead. Family is dead. The church is dead. Authority is dead. Nobody knows which way to turn, and that's why everyone is hunkering down in their own world. That's why there are so many preppers. That's why everyone wants a gun. That's why people are armed to the teeth and lock their doors and turn their alarms on at night. I thought about this the other night in another way. I bicycle sometimes after a show, and I ride by suburban houses when I'm in the suburbs. Every house is locked down tight. Everyone's lights are on and alarms are on, and I say, look at them. They're all sitting here waiting for a home invasion. And I said, you know what? Maybe they're not crazy. Maybe they're not crazy. Maybe they're not crazy. What world do you live in? The liberal world of Upper Manhattan where nothing goes wrong? Where you think you're protected and nothing can touch you?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here are some breaking details about the missing McStay family whose bones were found in the Mojave Desert today after 4 years of being missing. Source, the Examiner, on the Savage Nation. Joseph, Summer, and their two children, Joseph and Gianni, lived in Fallbrook, a small town north of San Diego. They had been living there only 2 months before they disappeared, leaving a carton of eggs on the counter and two cereal bowls full of popcorn on the couch and the dogs in the backyard. Detective Troy Dougal said, I absolutely know their financials and their friends better than I know my own financials and my wife's friends. What troubles the detective the most about the case is that there were 4 days that passed before the McStays assumingly crossed the border, as seen in the hazy surveillance tape. He wonders if they were staying with friends or at a hotel. Now listen to this. The day they disappeared, the wife, Summer, had made a cell phone call to a homeopathic medicine company and asked an employee for a medication called Anger, which the internet company responded it doesn't exist. I don't know what that means. Then at 7:47 p.m., the McStay's Isuzu trooper, the same one that was found at the San Ysidro shopping center, was picked up by a neighbor's surveillance tape as it passed by. The last phone call Joseph made was at 8:28 p.m. to an employee to follow up on a meeting they had earlier in the day. The employee told Dougal that it was strictly business and Joseph was calm. Now, what does the father do? That's the first thing that enters my mind. Here it is. A computer search showed that the wife, Summer, had emailed a Craigslist seller about Rosetta Stone software to learn Spanish. They were selling. And witnesses say they saw Joseph at a soccer game shaking hands with two men the day that the software was supposed to be picked up. Also on the computer was the queries for passport requirements and the age requirements for entering the country. Dougal believes that the surveillance tape at the border shows the McStays as the woman is wearing fur and Ugg boots, which Summer had a penchant for. The man and the kids are wearing hats, which they often did. Many have guessed that the McStays were under a witness protection program, but Dougal says the FBI assures him that they are not. I believe something occurred within those four walls between the four family members that made them leave in a hurry. It may have been good, it may have been bad, I don't know, said the detective. Well, I don't know what that means. If you have any information about the McStays, you're asked to call deputies at 858-974-2321. Tips can also be called in anonymously to Crime Stoppers at 888-580-TIPS. Well, I don't know where to go with this. Something is terrible with this picture. We have America listening, at least the number of people who are on a Friday night listening to the Savage Nation. Do you have any knowledge? Do you have any theories you care to share? 855-400-7282. Let us go to George on WABC. George, what's on what's your opinion?
Good evening, Michael. First, note, the forensics and cause of death may be a clue, but as far as witness protection, I'm in that category because the FBI would never admit to it.
Okay.
Screwed up and right. They put somebody under witness protection, they're going to admit it?
Okay. That's an idea. I don't know. KLIF. Texas, Patrick, your opinion. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's real simple, man. I don't know how, but it's Pacific Oil Cartel. I mean, it's really simple. I lived in Monterrey, Mexico for, 9 months, actually around that time, believe it or not. And, I don't know how or why, whether they're involved or whether it's random, but this is obviously a cartel move. I mean, you find
car. Why do you say obviously when indicators would suggest that the cartels generally leave the bodies for people to be found?
Okay, well, possibly because whoever is involved in the cartel is still stateside. They obviously were stateside to begin with during the home invasion, and that's actually, I don't believe that to be true. You look at Juarez, Mexico, right on the side of El Paso, they find bodies in the desert all the time. Now, generally it is women that have been raped or whatever, but They've also used that area to, they find men, they find all kinds of people in that area.
Why would they kill a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old?
Okay, well, first, I don't know how much you know about the cartel, but they worship the angel of death. They don't believe, they don't have the same morals and values. Killing children is nothing to them. They do it all the time in their own country. It doesn't matter. I used to walk around and have to look over my shoulder just because I was an American. I mean, it's scary business there. If you go to any, and it's accepted. You go into the markets in Monterrey, Mexico, even, which is actually one of the wealthiest cities in Latin America, and you see this devil worshiping that's just accepted amongst the culture.
Gee, I wonder why the Gang of Eight in our Senate wants to bring so many of those good folks to our country.
Well, believe it or not, there is a lot of good folks there, but there is still that element. And once again, that element is stronger than, I'll tell you this, and this is sad, and I do not want to admit this, but in 2008, when I was in Monterrey, Mexico, as a dumb youth, I decided I was going to vote for President Obama. Called this a sign of God, but I went to the embassy in Monterrey, and it was locked down because the cartel had bombed the embassy. The federales cannot do anything to stop these people. They run that country. They run Mexico. They're stronger than the military. They're stronger than the police force. They have better weaponry. And probably a lot of that has to do with our government, Fast and Furious, so on and so forth. But it's not like it is here, in that aspect. I mean, the bad guys...
No, you mean not like it is here yet. Well, certainly things are changing here, and if we grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens, and we have no way to know whether this has anything to do with immigration, aliens, but I can guarantee you on that issue that this country will never, ever recover.
No, absolutely not.
This is a horrible story, and maybe I'm bumming you out. I mean, I can't do anything else. If I show you the sound that my guys collected for the day, maybe there's 50 pieces of sound here that we were going to use. Obama, this, the Nancy Pelosi, James Clyburn, Jim McDermott, some sound bites from the week of what we had done when I talked about the dangers of massage, North Korea executing 80 people, how about the Pledge of Allegiance being banned, a state and horror story. We were going to do some of that. We had many other stories, but when I saw this story, I said, frankly, my mind is now so disturbed by this killing, because this is an American family. That's what I'm trying to get at. This is an average American family. I don't know what's going on in the world is what I'm saying to you. Something's wrong with the picture. What's your theory? What's your theory? That's as simple as that. 855-400-7282. Ray on WABC in New York. Go ahead. What's your theory on this murder?
Yeah, I believe that it was somebody who noticed them and needed a vehicle to get down to the border. And you said they had like an SUV?
Yeah.
I believe that they just, because now you're telling me the dogs were in the yard, they just knocked on the door with a gun and grabbed them all. And once they achieved getting to where they were, they no longer had any use for them, so they just killed them all. Just so that
it could be felons fleeing back across the border, saw a house with a car in a driveway and ran them, knocked on the door or broke in a door, took them, throw them in the car, and that's the end of the story. It could be.
My gut feeling. Because I live in New York City, and an incident like that happened to where somebody got bombed, but it just so happened that there was another man in the house, and he had a gun. So they ran.
Well, don't tell that to the liberals who are gunophobes. You know, to a liberal, a gun is a bad thing. To a conservative, a gun is life and death.
Well, a liberal don't like guns until somebody is going to shoot them, then they wish they had one.
No, they usually get out a baseball bat from their youth that they keep in the closet, certain that they can protect their family with a Little League bat that they've taken with them for the last 40 years. Sad, but unfortunately true. Now, here comes a caller from Salem, Oregon, that may disturb you. And I warn you to listen carefully because I don't know what's coming, but I'm looking at my board, and by what I see is extremely disturbing. Todd, Salem, Oregon, KYKN Radio, go ahead, please. What do you think happened here?
I've done some time, and I had a cellie. There was a jogger that was jogging out through the forest, and he found some bones. With his dog found some bones. And so they'd been looking for this guy, but they couldn't find a body. And they finally found the body, and then did the tests on it and proved that it was the missing guy. And
But you're saying on the board, Todd, by what I'm reading, you said cellmate murdered someone in similar story. Is that what you originally were going to say?
He did murder this guy. He cut his hands off. Well, actually, the story was he was supposed to watch all of his tools while he went to jail. And so he came back out of jail, and the guy sold all his tools and was doing drugs and stuff. So he shot him, and then he cut his head off. He cut his hands off. He went and buried him in a shallow grave out in the woods.
What you're saying is there are people who have no compunction about doing this to anybody. They'll do it. You'll just say they'll do it, period. I mean, that's what you're saying. It's not a movie, in other words, where movies, oh, it's horrible, we shouldn't look at that. You're saying in the real world this goes on is what you're telling us.
Methamphetamine just destroys people's minds.
Mm. And you see, the average person who lives in a regular world goes to work, comes home, brushes their teeth, takes vitamins, you know what I'm saying? They don't even want to believe such a thing could happen. They don't want to believe the world is this evil, Todd. None of us do.
Well, I have another story about a guy that tied my 100-year-old great aunt up and stole the rings off her fingers. And I met him in prison, and I knew who he was, and he tried to extort me. I didn't want to beat him up because I was trying to get clear conduct and stuff.
All right, well, thank you for that. So, look, I mean, I told you we're going to get detectives, we're going to get criminals, ex-prisoners who have ideas. Some of them are rational, some don't make sense. There's a bigger question, though. It's about evil. Where is God? You know, I had this discussion with someone who said, I heard your show the other day after the hurricane, or the typhoon, where 2,000 people died. And you said, what do you mean, all of them were guilty? And you kept saying, where is God? What happened to God? And this person said to me, don't you understand for every force there's an equal and opposite force, and the opposite force is the devil? And she had a biblical perspective, which is that the devil is just as strong as God, and they're in a constant fight. Now, that is a very religious perspective, by the way. And frankly, I'd forgotten that. I'd only looked at one side of it. which is like, why has God forsaken us in some ways? And then I say, wait a minute, I forgot that there's this celestial battle, or this eternal celestial battle between good and evil, between God and the devil, if you want to put it that way. And sometimes the devil gets the upper hand. Now, did it make me feel any better? No, it didn't make me feel anything. But I do remember that conversation. Florida on WBOB. Chris, go ahead on the Savage Nation.
Yes, God is bringing judgment on the world, and he has begun this process by removing his hand of restraint on the churches. And for thousands of years, people have been getting their quote-unquote morality when they went into the church, and the churches are a little bit out of whack with the reality of...
You know, I've thought about that myself, what you just said. The children have no moral compass, no right, no wrong, nothing. Now, in the past, when the nation was filled with church spires in every town, the families had to go to a house of worship. They had to listen to the preacher who rained down upon them hellfire and brimstone. He warned them they would go to you know where if they misbehaved. Am I correct?
Well,
and then what happened was, say it started in the 60s, let it all hang out, bring it all down, man. Oh, screw religion. I want to smoke pot. I want to sleep with anybody. There's no morality. Look where we are today. I have the same exact feeling. And you look forward and you say the only thing that can save this country and maybe the world is a return to religious worship. I sometimes believe that. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You. Look, we're talking about the bodies of a whole family found in a California desert. They went missing 4 years ago. Their bodies were found in shallow graves, including a little child three and a little child four. It's a very disturbing story to me personally because it is an American family. It's an American family story. No one knows what happened here. You say, well, wait a minute. Why is it such a big national story? Why? Because it chills anyone to the bones who has a family, who had young children, who ever traveled with them in remote areas, who went on a car ride to the mountains for the weekend, went into some, like, you know, remote areas. But that's not where it happened. That's not what happened. The questions remain. The dogs were left in the backyard. Popcorn was on the stove. Eggs were cooked and sitting on the counter. What happened here? There was grainy footage originally of a mother and a father and two children with hats going over the border into Mexico. Then no one knows what happened after that. Now their bodies are found not in a Mexican desert, but in the desert on this side of the border. You want me to move on to another topic? I will do it. I will not do Obamacare. That's the one thing I'm not going to do. I don't know how the others can be so obsessed with it. Margaret Ann, Reno, KKOH, thanks for calling the program. What do you think?
I love the idea that your format does not drone on again the rest of the day about Obamacare. I'm a political news junkie, but I am so grateful for your programming style. I've listened for years. You didn't used to be in our market, and it was my brother who lived in the Bay Area who would tell me about, oh, you got to hear this guy out of San Francisco, his name Savage Nation. And so when I had an opportunity to hear you here on the KKOH affiliate, I picked you up immediately. I've listened on and off for years, but I must tell you, I love the new thrust that you've got of mixing it up, even though this story is really pitifully sad that you're talking
about. It is pitiful. That's right. It's agonizingly sad to me. I wasn't going to do it. But before the show, I got so agitated looking at the children's faces in the pictures when they were healthy and alive, of course. I said, something's wrong with this picture. I don't understand it, but maybe somebody in my audience knows something and will call a national show and give away a hint. You never know, Margaret, who might call the show and why. And I've had callers tonight that I've never, ever had on this show before. I don't have to mention who they were or where their what their background. People who would never call a radio show call tonight with some ideas. And if you have an idea or knowledge, 855-407-282. We don't know who you are. We have no way of tracing your call. We don't do that. Put a handkerchief over the phone. Maybe you can help solve this horrible murder. No, I'm serious. It's crazy. Okay, let's go to Mississippi. WKIM. James, go ahead, please. Your theory.
Like you always say, Michael, follow the money. And my kids are out of school today because of brutal murder here in Oxford, Mississippi. A family member killed his own brother and his mother as principal of the school. Nobody can figure out why, but committed us in a state of shock.
Okay, but you're saying follow the money. Is that what you're saying?
You said there was $100,000 in the bank account. He probably
yes.
had insurance. People are, they need a fix. They need money. They're in debt, gambling. You know, casinos all around here. Everybody's spending every bit of money they have. If not, they're spending on meth or pot or whatever.
Mm. Now, that's raising an interesting question. All the casinos, all of the drugs. People get desperate. Gee, I thought that no one remembered that casinos are gambling institutions and people lose everything. I thought it was just a fun place to go for a drink. But let's not blame it on casinos. Thank you for the call. WABC, Shirley, what's your suspicion? Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just wanted to say, I remember one show ran a program on this family, and they showed pictures of them going through some terminal or something. And my feeling at that time, the family didn't look worried or anything, except that they were anxious to get wherever they were going. And my feeling at that time, it was someone they knew that tricked them into coming to meet them on an emergency or whatever. And to me...
Well, originally they were seen on grainy footage going over the border, walking over on their own volition. So what happened? Why would they kill young boys like this?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The McStay's body's skeletal remains were found on Monday by a motorcycle rider who is traveling through the area of Victorville off I-15. The bones were sticking out of the ground. The motorcycle rider reported that to police as investigators were trying to determine exactly what happened here. There were two different grave sites, according to police and sheriff's investigators. They used dental records to identify the two adults, Joseph and Summer. And as far as the children, DNA tests will be done to determine their absolute identities. But again, police do believe it's them.
Well, that's the story. That's the story, and it's a horrible story. And I've got a big hour here to fill, and I could go into all the other prep that we've done for the day. Don't think this is all I've done for the day. You know what the main story was going to be today? Until this story just gripped me and pulled me in like a vampire. Aid to the Philippines, the corruption. And I was asking myself, why is the United States leading on this aid to the Philippines? We're a basket case. We're broke. Why is Japan not the leader here? Why? Did you hear what China gave? Did you hear this? Okay. United States has committed $20 million and dispatched an aircraft carrier with 80 aircraft and 5,000 troops to the Philippines. Then you look and you say, well, what has China done? China's near the area. China offered $100,000. Now you could say, what? China offered $100,000 to the people of the Philippines for aid. We offered $20 million. Now what about Japan? You'd say, now Japan and the Philippines have a phenomenal relationship. Not all good, by the way, if you look at what the Japanese in those days, and I don't like to look back because it doesn't relate to today, but they decimated the Philippines in World War II. Japan is planning to send $10 million for emergency shelters and 1,000 troops from its self-defense forces, along with three ships and an unspecified number of aircraft. That would be the Japanese military's single largest relief operation abroad since World War II. Britain is sending its largest ship, the helicopter carrier HMS Illustrious, and aid exceeding $32 million. That's a lot of, you know, that's the biggest number there. So I was going to talk about that. And then I was going to ask you, wait a minute. We're giving $20 million. And who's making, anybody making money off that? You betcha. When you say we're giving $20 million, what does that mean? It means we're sending water, we're sending blankets, we're sending plastic tarps to build shelters. Well, those are provided not by the government. They're provided by contractors. Now, how much do contractors charge for a plastic sheet? What does the Pentagon pay a contractor? What does the Pentagon pay for an aspirin? What does the Pentagon pay for a bottle of water? I was going to do that tonight, but then this story came up, and I'm asking you if you have any leads, any ideas, any suspicions on the slaying of this family that was found in the desert, to give us a call at 855-407-2282. San Diego, Adam, you have a novel approach. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Actually, I had a best friend that lived in the neighborhood where the slaying took place. And it's in North County, San Diego. And if you take one left turn out of that neighborhood, in about 5 miles, you're at the Paula Casino. And I used to work at a movie theater right in that area, too. And we had frequent robberies from people coming from the Paula Casino to the movie theater, and they'd rob us, and they'd either go towards the beach or they'd go on the 15 North. And the 15 North, it goes straight to Vegas. And right between the where the slaying took place and Vegas is Victorville. So my theory is someone came from the Apollo Casino, lost all their money, got desperate, whatever, stuck out this family, kidnapped them, took whatever they got, ransom, whatever, dumped their bodies in Victorville, booked it to Vegas, lost all the money, whatever they needed to do, came back down, dumped the car by the border, and let look like something happened down by the border. That's what I had to guess, but I have no idea. It's just a coincidence that where the bodies are found were between Vegas and San Diego, and right on left, right out of the neighborhood, is another casino. So I think it's just too suspicious.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's a chilling analysis, and I'm certain that there are detectives on this case listening to the show who have either come to the same conclusion or will follow your, let us say, suspicions. Remember, what is a detective? He's a trained individual, but he's also just a person with a suspicious mind. And the more suspicious, the better. What's your theory? Henry, WABC, go ahead, please, on this horrible story of the killing of the family.
Michael, my theory is simply this. These people left in a hurry. Their children were murdered, so they are involved deeply. And the reason why I say that is because in order for a cartel to murder kids and the whole family, they would have had to have been involved in possibly a snitch type of situation, or they possibly did something, or they were planning on ratting someone out. Because a while back, if you remember, they pulled a hit on somebody and accidentally shot a priest. And everybody from that hit squad were cartel members. They were all executed. So there is a kind of code that these people play by. Even though it's kind of, you know, morbid when you think about it, there's a lot of money at stake.
But wait, what you're saying is, they killed the children, obviously, in your mind, so there'd be no witnesses? Is that the issue?
No, I think they murdered the whole family because other people who were possibly involved, if they got the idea that they were going to snitch, that this is what's going to happen to you.
But you see, this doesn't make sense to me as an outside observer for one reason. The bodies were buried in a grave in the middle of a desert. They were not left out in the open. By what I've read, when the drug cartels kill people, they leave the bodies out to scare others. They don't bury them. And these people were disappeared for 4 years.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? They were, no one knew where they were. There was no, like, okay, here's what will happen to you. Because they were gone. They were just found this week by accident by a motorcyclist who stumbled upon them. Something's wrong here. One other call on this topic right now in this hour. Missouri, Noah, is there a police, I don't know if he's in the police. He said there's a similar case that he's going to compare. Noah in Missouri on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I am a police officer working with narcotics investigations. There's a very similar case that I've helped participate with out of Springfield, Missouri. A woman who was a hairdresser was involved in selling cocaine, and she owed money. The people that took that she owed money to came to her home. Her daughter, who happened to be had graduated high school the night before, and a friend happened to be over at the house at the same time that they came to exact the retribution, get the money from the woman. All three were taken. All three are presumed to be killed, and they were buried in a property out in the middle of the Ozarks. This case has a lot of similarities in the fact that nobody is trying to, put the bodies out on display. It's not a point. You're not trying to make a point. It's more or less whoever did it is trying to hide or conceal the offense.
Well, that's what I was saying to the last caller. There's no one sending a message to others that this will happen to you because they disappeared them, right?
Correct. So there's not enough. You have to look for the motive, the reasoning behind doing it. And so the evidence is for something as simple as how they dispose of the bodies. So they're doing it in such a way that they're trying to conceal us. They're trying to conceal offense. It made me think or believe more along the lines that whomever did it probably, I'm assuming that these people maybe were involved in narcotics, that they owed money, and that whoever wanted the money, when they came to the home, it just happened to be a terrible circumstance that the children are there, but you have to take everybody. And we see this in other cases, the case where in our area that's very similar to this, it's people are at the wrong place at the wrong time. And so that kids were most likely murdered as well simply because they were at the home at the time that the individuals came to do this crime.
Terrible. The family's locked and abandoned trooper, was Isuzu trooper, was found February 8, 2010 in San Ysidro, California, two blocks from the border. Surveillance video that was taken that night showed a family fitting the description of the McStays walking into Mexico, but from there the trail went cold. Now, what does that say to you?
Well, it could be multiple reasons, but if I was trying to throw the trail off or to add suspicion into other realms, that's a place that U.S. officers are going to have a hard time doing investigations in. So if you can lead somebody to believe that the offense has actually occurred in Mexico, it throws off our investigations immensely.
So it may not have even been that family. It could have been just, just set up to look like them.
It's always possible. You know, it's unknown what would happen there. I'm looking more along the lines of just reading over the articles, looking at the situation, and based off...
All right, so you're saying sometimes the obvious is what really happened, and the first thing that comes to anyone's mind when you say family disappears, car found, disappeared 4 years, now they're found in a desert, it's in the area of Mexico, the first thing that comes to anyone's mind is drugs. That's the first thing, am I right?
Well, for me, yes, it does, because that we see a lot of similarities in crimes where families are killed or either crimes of passion, which is usually going to involve the male figure in the household, which would be a murder-suicide, which is not going to be the case here. So then you got to look at an outside perspective, and since it didn't look as anybody in the family had done it, then you're going to look to other motives. Money is always the biggest issue, and narcotics is number one on that list for either owing money or selling. That just is the logical chronological order that I would look at.
Fascinating. I really appreciate the callers we're getting tonight on the show. I know this is a little diversion from my normal fare on the program, and I realize that you have other options rather than dwelling on such a horrible story. And you may ask yourself, well, why is Michael so locked on this? It's because something is so wrong in the world. It's not the first family that has been slain that I have read about. Let's put it to you that way. Nor will it be the last family that we read about, unfortunately, that will be slain. But there's something so horrible about the thought of a human being who would slay children and throw them in a grave in front of the parents. But then again, maybe I live in a Mickey Mouse land. When I look at what's going on in the Middle East, when I see the bloodthirsty creatures who, in the name of their God, slaughter each other because they're the wrong sect of Islam, I say to myself, anything is possible. They put bombs in another guy's mosque because he's the wrong sect of their religion. Have you ever heard of anything like this? Killing anyone, men, women, children, dogs, cats, squirrels, doesn't matter what. All in the name of God? Because they're the wrong sect of Islam? So this is not so unusual in other parts of the world. And as America devolves because of the seepage of third world people and third world mentality and third world mores into this nation, as we melt down from being, and I will say it, a God-fearing Christian nation, and we've opened our borders because of the corruption of the politicians to the third world, which has entered this nation and brought with them the devastating mentality, I think you're going to see more of this rather than less of it. There, I got it off my chest. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
No, we'll move on, but if something comes in, we'll pick it up and take it on the show. There's one element of the disappeared family that was found in a shallow grave, the McStay family, God rest their souls, found in the desert, which is troubling. In none of the news stories that I'm reading do I see what the father did for a living. It says that the mother was a stay-at-home mom. Okay, that's not unusual. It says that they had $100,000 in the bank. That's not unusual. They had a nice home, not in a very expensive neighborhood, but a decent home. But what did the father do for a living? I don't know. I'm not raising any suspicions on the father. This could have been random. But where is there any mention of what the father did for a living? Nothing was missing from the home. The couple's credit cards and tens of thousands of dollars in bank accounts were not touched. They did not tell anyone in the family they were leaving. When the police went to their home, the night they were reported missing, they found eggs that had rotted on the kitchen counter and two pet dogs in the backyard, indicating the family was not preparing for any kind of leave. Authorities have pursued hundreds of tips over the years, and eventually detectives in the area thought that they left voluntarily for Mexico. Well, one of the pieces of evidence supporting that theory was a very poor quality video which appeared to show four people matching the McStay's descriptions walking into Tijuana. But family members doubted the video showed the couple and their children. The case was then turned over to the FBI. So we have nothing new to add to this other than to just say, holy God, lock your doors and load your guns. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We have other stories we can deal with, and we will. In fact, what I want to play for you now is the sad case, not of Obamacare so much, but the sad sack, Nancy Pelosi, who we call affectionately on the program the Bugs Bunny of talk radio, actually the Bugs Bunny of Congress. I don't know where this woman gets this from. I don't know why people don't tell her she should stop it, but everything she says, there's not a thing she says that makes sense. I don't mind that she's a Democrat. I don't mind that she's a liberal Democrat. I don't mind that she's a slavish supporter of Obama. Okay, that's expected in a party. But to be this disconnected from reality, to not understand that the American people can't understand the irrationality of her statements, is the part that worries me, given her prominence and her power. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen, for example, to clip 14 and then 15.
The president was very gracious in taking responsibility and making an apology. But I agree with Mr. Hoyer. What the president said in regard to the Affordable Care Act is absolutely so. There is nothing in the Affordable Care Act that said that your insurance company should cancel you. That's not what the Affordable Care Act is about. It simply didn't happen.
She's twisting it again, just like he did. He said nothing. Nobody knows what he actually said. Listen to clip 15.
Did I ever tell my constituents of that if they liked their plan, they could keep it? I would have if I had ever met anybody who liked his or her plan. But that was not my experience. That was not my experience. And it was not my experience. As a mother of five, occasionally has a bad back and the rest of that.
What does the bad back have to do with it? What is she talking about? It makes no sense. They're hammering the healthy young to pay for the unhealthy old. It's that simple. They made a huge mistake. The cat is out of the bag. What did they think? The young people wouldn't find out that this is that they were the setup?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, we'll move on past this story. We're going to take one more call on it, then we're going to all of the news of the weekend of the day on the Savage Nation. The last call on this topic, unless something horrendous comes through over the transom, is from a retired LAPD detective, Ron on WMAL, which, by the way, is not in L.A. MAL, as you well know, is the powerhouse station in Washington, D.C. Ron, welcome to the program. What's your theory on the dead people found in the desert?
Well, I was a detective in the 80s and 90s in Los Angeles before I retired, and this has a very similar circumstance to a case I worked. There was a man and a wife and three children and a grandmother, and he was laundering money for the drug cartels. He had two or three businesses that were fronts to launder money. He, all of a sudden, he disappeared, and then a day and a half later, the rest of the family, including the grandmother, had all disappeared, and we spent over a year looking for them, putting together leads, and then it started to unravel because businesses started to show what he was really doing. And about 18 months later, we get a call from a public storage unit. We go out to the public storage unit that him and the entire family were murdered execution style and left inside the storage unit wrapped up in plastic.
Oh, my God. You know, sometimes I ride on the highways of California, Ron, and I look at these storage units off the road. Like the other day, I drove up from San Francisco up to Santa Rosa. I had business up there. And in some of the areas, you see thousands of these storage units. And I often sit and I try not to imagine what's in there. But now you're telling me what's in there may not be as just the family jewels, so to speak.
Yeah, this storage unit was actually in Oxnard, California, which was in Ventura. But there was, they ID'd him the next day and they brought us up there because it was still an active case for us. And that pretty much just, you know, cemented our conclusion with the execution-style murder of the whole family, including the grandmother who was 8-something.
Ron, since you're on the phone and you're former LAPD, I have a question for you. I saw one of the worst movies of my life last night called Gangster Squad with Sean Penn playing Mickey Cohen. It was one of the most cartoonish portrayals I've ever seen in my life. You were in the LAPD in what years, Ron?
I came in 73 is when I graduated the academy, and I retired in 98.
Were there still rumors of this gangster squad when you were in the LAPD? Because it was just before your time that the former captain of the LAPD who set up the gangster squad, isn't it true?
Yeah, Parker Center is named after, you know, Chief Parker at that time, who, you know, supposedly had a big hand in it. There was always, you know, rumors from the old cops on the force when I came in through the 70s of way it used to be, you know, the how things used to get done, so forth and so on. But by the time, you know, I came through, and then in the 80s when Daryl Gates, you know, there was a whole new mentality, but that new mentality still had deep roots back into the days where, you know, LAPD handled things a lot differently than most other cities.
No, I hear you, because they decided they couldn't use the law against these criminals. They were too deeply entrenched, and they did what had to be done. Thank you for the call. I saw that movie, Gangster Squad, and I mean, I've read about Mickey Cohen over the years, one of the lowest slimes on the planet, and yet he was revered by the media. But what bothered me about the movie more than anything, have you seen Gangster Squad, anyone out there with Sean Penn playing the gangster Mickey Cohen? It's an interesting question that I'm going to raise, which is the hypocrisy level of Sean Penn is something to behold. Here is a man who espouses one liberal shibboleth after another. He's for everything good in the world. He's anti-war, anti-gun, anti-police. And yet he plays the most despicable roles. Virtually every other scene had him either beating someone to death, kicking someone to death. The opening scene to the movie is of a man being chained in two sides and ripped apart by two cars. Again, Sean Penn laughing over it. Where is the insanity? Where does insanity end and Hollywood begin is what I'm asking you. Sean Penn's role in Gangster Squad, it was the worst writing I've ever seen in a modern film of this magnitude in my life. I almost am speechless to be talking about it. But the issue is, how does a movie like that get produced, is the issue. Now, the other part that I wanted to mention about this movie, Gangster Squad, which is based upon reality, is this. These men who were in the gangster squad were handpicked by the chief to put down the Jewish gangster, Mickey Cohen, and the others who were taken over Los Angeles while they were away at war. Think about what I'm saying to you. L.A. had been a relatively peaceful city before the war. Let us say, when I say peaceful, there was no criminal element, gangster element, let's say a cartel of that level, running the city. Because the toughest men in the police department went into the war in World War II, the opportunistic infection called organized crime moved in the form of Mickey Cohen, and he built up this huge, you know, business of drugs, heroin, prostitution, and you name it. Well, they couldn't get him using the law because the judges were corrupted. The system was so corrupted there was no way to touch him. He bought every important politician in town. So the police chief, who was an honest man, played by Nick Nolte, by the way, who does a pretty interesting role in the movie, gets this squad together of former guerrilla fighters from World War II, guys who were the toughest of the tough, who lived to tell about it, came back from some of the worst campaigns in World War II. They were cold-hearted murderers on the right side of the law. And he told them that your squad will not be known, not be named, you won't be remembered, you know. No one will know you exist. You've got to go out and you've got to break up the gambling casinos and you've got to stop the dealing in drugs in the city. And that's what they did. They used, so to speak, illegal methods, strong-arm methods, to fight crime. And it worked, by the way. It worked. It was the only thing that could work. In essence, it was the equivalent of a police star chamber. Now you say, well, okay, maybe we need that today. I'm not arguing for that, but you know, a lot of us wish there was a little bit more of that. The police, who have some of the finest, toughest men on earth in departments across this country, and we all know it, by the way, never mind the liberal pack that we read about, are hamstrung. They can't do their jobs. They'd like to clean up the streets. They like to clean up the crime. There's plenty of guys who are honest and tough, and they can't do their jobs. They do the best they can, but they're demoralized by the political system in this country. You see the same inclinations happening in our military. You send young boys over who are tough as nails. They make it through Marine training. They send them over to Iraq. They do their job, and they kill these head cutters. And what happened? George Bush, do you remember? George Bush started this epidemic of court-martials against them. So the same pervasive liberalism that has crippled most of our police departments from combating crime, from stopping illegal aliens from stepping on our nation, has penetrated the military because of the corruption within the government. And so, look, there's no moral tale here. You know, people are asking, well, you know, what are you saying, that we go back to this Wild West mentality and just unleash the tough men with badges and let them do what they have to do to end crime? Well, I don't know. A lot of people wouldn't mind that. Maybe they'd feel better about their country if a little bit more of that occurred, instead of these vicious, degenerate lawyers who sue police departments for doing their jobs, scream racism at the drop of a hat. You kind of get the drift. Look what just happened in New York. You had a stop-and-frisk policy that the great police chief, Raymond Kelly, enacted, and he greatly reduced crime in New York City. Greatly reduced it. Minority communities especially thanked him for introducing stop and frisk. Who attacked him? Liberal Judge Shindlin. Who threw him under the bus? The new mayor of New York, de Blasio. In fact, Raymond Kelly of New York came out today and said that these politicians were his friends before the election, came to him for advice before the election, and then stabbed him in the back when they went on the road and started to campaign, saying the police were brutal thugs. And so he got a taste of what politicians are. And so what I say is, even he, who did it within the realm of the law, Raymond Kelly, came to understand that even acting within the realm of the law was not good enough for some of these corrupt politicians. So we come full circle to this question of crime and law and order in America. How do we ever pull ourselves out of this death spiral that we are in, where the criminals and the criminal gangs have no such constraints and no such scruples? How do you fight them? Do you fight fire with fire, or how do you do it? 855 400 7282. Evil is afoot in the world. The story of the family being found in the desert is the most disturbing story I've seen all week. It's very upsetting. And perhaps we could move on. Medford, Oregon, KMED. Eli, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling about a couple comments you've made in the past shows. And what I love about America is the principles it's based on of freedom. And so when someone who says he's a conservative is talking about, well, let's forget the Fourth Amendment where you have to have a warrant to search somebody, and let's do this stop and frisk, which is a warrantless search for our safety, that bugs me. That's the first one. The second one...
Well, let's deal with one thing at a time. How come that the people in New York overwhelmingly approved of stop and frisk, while it was liberals like yourself who don't live there, who were screaming it was unconstitutional, it was illegal, and it violated minority rights? Minorities themselves were glad it was being done because they got the worst elements off the streets.
I'm not speaking for those people who are in favor of unconstitutional stuff. I'm saying I am for the Constitution. You're asking me what the...
I know, but you're talking about it in the abstract. You're talking about it in a bell jar. You're speaking about it from a textbook point of view in the safety of your home in Medford, Oregon. You're not talking about it from the point of view of the mean, horrendous streets of New York City or the other cities that are filled with crime. And so if we use your bell jar view, your university view of constitutionality, we'll all wind up dead. Thank you for the call. 855-400-7282. In Florida. In Florida, Tony, on the internet, you're on the Savage Nation on line 6. Go ahead, you're up on the air.
Hey, Michael, thanks for taking the call. Real quick, I did read that he had a business that he installed pool fountains or pool features.
Oh, the father who was found dead with the family was a pool contractor, is that it?
Yeah, from what I understand, he did install pool fountains and pool features, and in my take on it, having five relatives, including my father, as cops, I think that he was involved in a low level. And frankly, I think the reason for the searching regarding going to Mexico was possibly the family wanted to get away or escape because they knew that they were being wanted by whoever eventually caught them.
Mm. Well, who knows? And I don't know that we'll ever get to the bottom of it. You know, 5 years later, bodies found in the desert. What are they going to ever put two and two together? Who's going to come forward and say, you know, I have a lead? Nobody. Nobody is going to say it, my friends. Now, let's see what else is in the news. So I went to lunch today alone. Teddy was with the dog groomer. So I go to a little Chinese restaurant, sit by myself around 2:45 where I can get a table and a newspaper. And I order the same dish. And I pick up the New York Times saying, all right, I'll joke about it tonight on the air, right? And I noticed these stories, and I thought they were worth, I said, oh, this is right up my alley. Questions for a new class of cholesterol drugs. Remember we talked about that yesterday? Well, there's no point in talking about it again. This was an interesting story about Eric Holder doing something I actually approve of. I know you say, wait a minute. Well, even a stopwatch, as they say, you know, is right twice a day. This was from page A1 of the New York Times today, and I must tell you, I had to put down my egg roll to turn the pages to look into this story. Well, the picture of Obama is worth $1,000 on the front of today's New York Times. It's really amazing. In a reversal, Obama moves to avert the cancellation of health policies, but the man really looks chagrined, shocked, and it's frightening to look at in a way because the president's entire persona is different from this. But that's not the story that hit me. The story that got me was the lead story on the front page of the New York Times, which is this. U.S. investigates currency trades by major banks. Cartel was nicknamed. Suspicions of meddling and market handling $5 trillion a day. And what this is about is that an international investigation into banks like Barclays, the Royal Bank of Scotland, and Citigroup, according to recent public disclosures by the banks and interviews with investigators, blah, blah, blah. They're talking about traders in foreign currencies who ultimately flooded the market with trades that potentially raised the cost of currency for clients but aided the bank's own investments. And then they interview Eric Holder, who says the manipulation we've seen so far may just be the tip of the iceberg. I was shocked. that Eric Holder would actually go after banks of this magnitude. No, I really was. Because it's not typical of this administration to go after, shall I put it this way, it looks to me like major donors to the Democrat machine. U.S. investigates currency trades by major banks, a likely signal of a legal crackdown on a huge market. And the first thing that came to my mind when I read about currency trades was none other than George Soros, who was not mentioned in this, by the way. I want to be very clear about that. George Soros, who made his fortune originally, so far as I know it, in currency trades, is not mentioned in any of this, but major banks are. And I'm wondering now, I had a wondering moment, could all of this lead back to the big boy himself? I have no idea, nor do I cast any aspersions upon Mr. Soros' superb dealings in trading and currencies in the back of the temple. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
KSFO.
On this floor since 9/11.
That's the far-left wackadoodle, Jim McDermott, Democrat of Washington, who hasn't seen so much panic on the House floor since 9/11. You meaning they were caught with their pants down? They were caught lying? They're caught mishandling everything? Of course there should be panic. Everyone knows who you are. It's like panic in Needle Park, only it's not Needle Park, it's in Congress. I want to talk about the typhoon, Philippines. China is the world's second largest economy and much closer to the Philippines than the United States, right? Yet China originally offered $100,000 in aid. Would you believe it? $100,000 in aid, and then they were slammed so hard for it that they raised it to $1.6 million in aid. This is China, right? And the $1.6 million that China offered in aid to its neighbor in the Philippines was less than the amount of money written by Swedish furniture store IKEA, which is very interesting. People say, well, why would the Swedish furniture store IKEA contribute so much money, such as $2.7 million. Well, I'll tell you why, in my opinion. It's not all altruistic. And I'm guessing now, the wood that the furniture store uses, I would think, may be Philippine mahogany. Or whatever is left of teak, or they regrow teak, Philippines again. Therefore, they have factories in the Philippines, and so it's somewhat in their interest to sort of be a good neighbor and a big brother. So that I understand. If that's true. But when I was reading why China didn't give the money, it was another intriguing story that I found in the Chinese restaurant while eating the dim sum today, is, and I should read it directly. Here it is right here. I saved it for you right now on the Savage Nation. Analysts, however, said one factor in determining the initial small gift from China was the hostility among Chinese internet commentators towards foreign aid and to help the Philippines in particular. You hear this? In other words, the Chinese people themselves are quite, let us say, nationalistic. They're not sympathetic with the people of the Philippines. And, frankly, they're hostile towards foreign aid. Does that sound familiar to you in the sense of hostile to foreign aid? And what's intriguing to me is that the Chinese government, which is allegedly authoritarian and a dictatorship, which it is, was more sensitive to the people of China and their commentary against foreign aid than you know who, than our disconnected band, which is at an approval rating that is lower than ever in history, 7, 8, 9%. They don't listen to one word any of us say, whether it be on the internet or on talk radio. Maybe God will change things now that it's all come crashing down around them. We can only hope.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to hour number three, the Savage Nation, for today, the 15th of November, 2013, for the Savage Nation. Remember, I am moving to drive time on January 1st, 2014. That's 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, noon to 3 p.m. Western. Mark the date. Text your friends. Google your friends. Well, you can't Google your friends. Tweet your friends. Tweet your friends. Savage moving. Savage going to prime time. Meanwhile, today we're talking about Obama's sorry story. The friends of McCain and Graham who wanted us to back the rebels in Syria. Remember them, the nice guys? They cut off the head of a wrong jihadist while he was in the hospital. Whoops. They thought he was an enemy Muslim. While he was under anesthesia, he muttered something they thought was Sunni-like rather than Shia-like. So they cut his head off and then held it up for the world to see and then said, whoops. Thanks, John. Thanks, Lindsay. You know where your friends are, I hope. We're also talking about the Philippines disaster relief. How do you feel about the United States offering humanitarian and disaster relief to the Philippine Islands? You know, someone's getting rich off these efforts. You didn't know that? Who do you think buys the bottled water that's sent in as disaster aid? How about sheets used to make temporary shelters or cots and blankets? Guess who pays for it? You do. The contractors are making a killing. Oh, we're talking about it. What else is in the news? Students rally for bus driver who says prayer led to dismissal. Nice black guy, bus driver, prayed with the students on the bus, and they fired him. UN proposes climate reparations from rich countries for loss and damage caused by global warming. Oh, my God, this communism doesn't stop. Half of Americans think Obama knowingly lied to pass the health law. Idiots. Half. Halfwits. New York Police Department probes black teens playing Knock Out the Jew. Didn't make it to your paper, I guess. What else is in the news? Look at this. Look at this. A set of paintings sold for $142 million the other night, and you thought there was a recession. Tell that to the hedge fund operators. Yeah, okay, Dems turn on Obamacare. Fix could make it worse. GOP warns of constitutional crisis. Dem rep, I haven't seen this much panic since 9/11. New York Times says a crisis of confidence. Obama slams lobbyists, then hires one. Bachman says I lost my insurance. Obamacare advocate poised to become next Surgeon General. Congressman warns of secret security force. Ooh, what's that? Oh, my God. Representative Louis Gohmert warned that a provision within Obamacare could create an armed secret security force. Oh, my God. How do you like that? The Ready Reserve Corps? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You didn't know about that. The House passed a bill to keep your insurance. Obama vowed to veto it. Air Force is having trouble retaining pilots. Well, you get the picture. Now I'm building you up. I'm warming you up. Since Obama said the pledge he made was false, what you're about to hear is dangerous to your blood pressure if you're a normal, red-blooded American who loves this country. Here is a deviant from a school board in Somewhereville, Washington State, voting against the mandatory Pledge of Allegiance for high school, despite the pleas of disabled veterans who got up and walked out. If you take one look at her, you'll understand the type of personality I'm talking about who's on our school boards today. They have infiltrated every aspect of our culture. Listen to school board member Kate Parker.
We felt that we wanted to make it clear that at the high school level, we do not, there's not always an opportunity to have the Pledge of Allegiance spoken every day.
Just the challenge of being able to find a period within the high school day to be able to say it consistently appeared to be a challenge too. So,
You evil lowlifes, you evil, 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 evil lowlifes. Evil lowlifes, both of you. They have penetrated every school board in the United States of America. They hate this country. They hate the flag. They hate the veteran. They hate the police. They hate your father. They hate the mother. They hate the nuclear family. They hate the Bill of Rights. They hate the Constitution. They hate the right that you have to vote. One of the veterans in the audience said that, he said there's not enough time in the day. He said it took them longer to say that. Listen to clip 20 now.
It's a sad day. It's a sad day for the Sioux Falls School District. And tonight, in this meeting, in front of the school board, we had a wounded veteran. It took him longer to get up, to get his crutches, and to walk out of the room than it would have taken the students to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. But yet, they decided that they didn't have enough time in their day to do it. He gave almost all he had for our country. But our school district couldn't give 10 seconds. Sorry.
Now, this is in Sioux Falls, a once American city that's become penetrated by the deviants of America. I say deviant, I'm referring only to their hatred for the country. I have no idea about their personal life. They have deviated from everything decent in this country. They have deviated from everything that is educational in America. They have become the utter deviant. This is why the pillory was invented. This is why the stocks were invented by the pilgrims, were for people like this on the school board. Because when witches and warlocks like this appeared in America in the early days, the people were smart enough to put them into pillories in the town square so that people could see what a witch and a warlock looked like. How do you turn your city over to sickos like this who say that we don't have the time to say the Pledge of Allegiance, but you have enough time to teach them how to put a condom on a cucumber, or how to sleep with their sorority sister, or how to sleep with their fraternity brother, or how to spit on the flag, or how to hate the country and their parents? That's all I'm going to say right now, because it's too late in the evening for most of you to take any of this. It's not a pretty sight, but it happened tonight. A family of four, two young children, a three-year-old, a four-year-old, a mother and a father, they go missing 4 years ago in San Diego. They leave the house. They leave their dogs. Nothing was touched in their bank accounts. Eggs were found cooking on their stove. Today, their graves were found by a motorcyclist driving off-road in the desert. Shallow grave in Southern California's Mojave Desert, belonging to this family, missing since 2010. Of course, they were murdered. The skeletal remains of Joseph McStay, 40, Summer 43, 60 miles east of L.A. But what's more disturbing is their two young boys, Johnny, 4, and Joseph, 3, were found in another grave. You look at their pictures, they're an American family. They're your family. God forbid my family. Who would do a thing like this? Where is this evil coming from in our world that someone would slay a family and throw them into a shallow grave? I looked at this story and I said, well, it's an atrocity. How can I deal with a story like this on the radio? I'm going to ask people to just speculate. Yes, I'm going to ask America to speculate for a few minutes on the show, and I'll tell you why. Every one of you knows this. In this audience, there are retired police, retired detectives. There are criminals. There are murderers. There are saints who listen to this show. There are people maybe who are as disturbed as I am by this story, who may shed some light on it in a public forum that they would never dare shed in a private forum. And I realize you didn't hear anything about this today on any of the other shows, because the story just broke this evening. Two of four sets of remains found in the desert, identified as Joseph and Summer McStay and their two little children. The two family dogs were left behind. People who knew the family said they were a loving, normal family. At the time of their disappearance, the family even left popcorn, just popped, in two bowls in the living room. There were also rotten eggs found on the kitchen counter. By all accounts, it looked as if the family made a hasty, unplanned retreat. There were no signs of a struggle or forced entry. No blood was found. The couple did not have financial problems and reportedly had more than $100,000 in the bank. Right? The mystery only deepened when investigators believed they uncovered video of what looked like the McStays crossing the border into Mexico. It was seen at the time two adults and two children. However, their identities on that videotape were never confirmed. 4 days after the family was reported missing, their SUV was found parked at a shopping mall in San Diego, steps from the Mexico border. The investigation into the remains blew up today when a motorcyclist discovered them in a shallow grave near Highway 15 in the desert. Authorities said it was unclear how long the remains had been buried. I ask you, the Savage Nation, I don't know who you are, I don't know what your background is, what is your theory on this horrendous story of the death of an American family? It's an ordinary American family who would kill a father and a mother and the two children? Why would they kill a little child 3 years old and another one 4 years old and throw them into a grave? What kind of world are we living in? Is God dead? Is God dead? Is the devil in charge? 855-400-7282. Terrible, horrible, unbelievable. What comes to mind? Remains of a whole family. They are America. They're just like your family. There's a few elements of the story that make no sense to me. The father's name is Joseph McStay. The mother's name is Summer McStay. The child, though, the little four-year-old whose bones were found, is Gianni Giuseppe. G-I-A-N-N-I-G-I-U-S-E-P-P-E. I don't understand it. I don't know why the Italian name is in there. I don't get this. I mean, does it have anything to do with it, doesn't it? I mean, you know, come on. We're just ordinary people looking at this story. Something's wrong here. Something is wrong with this picture. Rich on KSFO has a lead in his mind owing to the well, go ahead, Rich. You tell your story. What's your suspicion?
It's a pleasure, Dr. Savage. I lived in about 20 years there in San Diego, and recently have moved up to Northern California because there's certain areas of San Diego that's very dangerous. San Diego is a huge county, and I'm not sure where they started or where they are living, but there's a huge drug trade either from El Cajon out of Pacific Beach or all these other areas, including North County.
Okay, their bones were found in the Mojave, outside the town of Victorville. So that doesn't mean anything.
No.
But now let's look where their house is. That's the interesting thing. Where did they live is the issue. And I don't know what you're saying here. Is you're implying that they were on some, you know, traffic route here, and maybe that's something to do with it. That's what you're implying, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's the first intuition that everyone would have. You say Mexico bodies, Mexican border bodies, you immediately say drugs. I mean, that's the first logical conclusion, but is it logical? And is it the right conclusion? I don't know. We're guessing. It's all speculation. You say, well, why are you bothering with this story? Well, we should be talking about Obamacare and Obama. Because you've heard everything else. And frankly, this is rattling me. Why? Because I once had kids this age. I protected them like a lunatic. I wouldn't let them out of my sight. But still in all, what can a man do if he's in the middle of nowhere without a weapon? But they seem to have been snatched out of their house. That's the thing. Popcorn was on the stove. Eggs were found rotting in the kitchen. Their dogs were left unmolested in the backyard. Now, that doesn't sound like a drug hit by the fantasy land of movies and television. If someone comes in to kill, they usually kill the dogs, don't they? I know you don't want to dwell on it. I get it. I don't blame you. You want something humorous, funny, sarcastic, satiric. I can't do it because something's wrong with this picture. What kind of country am I living in? Is I keep asking myself, what has happened to the country? Everything is shot. No, it's not Obama. Obama didn't do it. That's not the point. There seems to be a loss of sanity at every level. God is dead. God is dead. Family is dead. The church is dead. Authority is dead. Nobody knows which way to turn, and that's why everyone is hunkering down in their own world. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I am asking you what you think went on. I got chills up and down my spine. I told you, get ready for a crazy ride on the show for the next 10, 15 minutes. I didn't plan on talking about this. I wanted to talk about all the other news from the week and from the day. But when a story like this, the slaying of an American family, occurs, you have to ask yourself, hold on now. Hold on now. Something is wrong. Evil is afoot in the world. Where is God? Is the devil in charge? And again, I don't know who listens to my show. In a large audience like this, there are detectives. There are murderers. There are psychopaths. There are ordinary people. There are smart people. And they all have ideas. And I'm asking you to call. WABC Mike, your theory, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I believe it's a serial killer.
Why?
Because the pattern of, first thing they would have to do is the victimology on the family. If there was no nefarious activity in the family before, and they weren't involved in any sort of wrongdoing, then I would say it was a serial killer because the prevalence of serial killers in Southern California, the fact that they killed children, which is indicia of a psychosadistic serial killer, and the fact did they just disappear in such a sudden type matter?
It says on my call screener, Mike, that you're calling out of New York City. All right, NYPD detective, is that correct?
I'm a retired NYPD detective sergeant.
Okay. Were you in homicide?
I was not in homicide. I was a detective squad commander. I'm also a criminal justice professor at John Jay College.
All right. Well, that's pretty good bona fides for me. So from your perspective, this is a serial killer who snatches a family and kills them?
I do believe that. I do believe that they somehow left their home. They were somehow captured by these serial killers and taken and killed.
Oh, God. My God, to think there are ghouls like that walking the planet. Most of us don't think about these things, Mike. We don't want to believe this exists, do we?
No, but I do believe that if they are able to tie it to other homicides that are similar in the area, that they will get some sort of picture on who did the crime.
It's very disturbing because everyone listening to the show who has a family or had a young family at some time knows that you've gone on road trips, knows that you've gone into sort of isolated areas, whether they be in mountains or deserts or beaches. And most fathers, when they go there, think, well, you know, is there any risk here? And they say, don't be paranoid. Well, let me tell you something. Be paranoid. Be very paranoid. Get a weapon. Own a weapon. Learn how to use a weapon. Defend yourself and your family. Mike, is that bad advice? Is that paranoid advice? Or is that realistic advice?
No, I believe, sir, that is realistic advice. And as a retired sergeant, I do carry a weapon. And I think that's the only way that you can ensure that this type of thing will not happen to you or your family.
Yes. Well, it's a very crazy night in the world. It seems the devil is loose in the world. This is the most disturbing story I've seen, I wouldn't say, in a week or a month. I mean, death is death. You say, okay, there's a devastation in the Philippines. 2,000 are dead. It couldn't have been pleasant to see them die in front of your eyes. The force of nature is one thing. But this is a slaying of a whole family.
Savage.
Monday morning, we're going to wake you up on the right side. Join me, Brian Sussman, right here on KSFO between 5
it
and 9 a.m.
It is the Savage Nation. 855-407-2282. There are other stories. Every day, Obamacare, Obamacare, Obamacare. Everyone knows it isn't working. Everyone knows it can't stand on its own. But what we haven't heard much about is what effect is it going to have on the mental health community? And what kind of treatment is the government going to, you know, mandate? Joining us now in the Savage Nation is psychiatrist and president of Global Medical Education, Dr. Prakash Musand. Dr. Musand, welcome to the Savage Nation.
It's good to be with you, Michael.
So what does this law mandating psychiatric care really look like?
So, you know, one of the good things about Obamacare is that mental illness is given parity with other medical illnesses, and that is good because for a long time, mental illnesses were considered second-rate illnesses compared to other common medical illnesses. So that's good that it's going to receive the same parity compared to the other illnesses. But I think one of the potential challenges is going to be the increased burden with millions of new patients being eligible for mental health services, placing on an already inadequate mental health system, you know, particularly for individuals who cannot see physicians out of network or pay out of pocket. Because, you know, most psychiatric care in the United States is provided by non-psychiatrists, by primary care physicians, by nurse practitioners, by therapists. And the system is already overburdened in terms of what it's able to deliver in terms of mental health services.
Well, what problems do you see emerging in this system?
I think the difficulty is when access is provided to millions of more individuals, but the systems that are going to provide the care are not changed a bit, the system will get overwhelmed. You know, because even today, you know, if you look at the treatment of common psychiatric illnesses, let's take anxiety disorders, for example, which are present in about 18% of the population in any given year, or if you take mood disorders like depression, which are present in 9% of the population in any given year, you know, what you find is only 30 to 50% of patients with anxiety disorders or mood disorders today are receiving treatment. And even amongst those people who are receiving treatment, you know, only one out of three receive minimally adequate treatment. So, you know, even today, for common disorders like mood disorders and anxiety disorders, there is a marked rate of under-treatment or inadequate treatment being provided for most patients.
Look, the mental health system is already overloaded. What kind of training are these primary care workers who are not psychiatrists even receiving?
And, you know, that's a really good question, because most primary care physicians or nurse practitioners or physician assistants, you know, the frontline healthcare professionals who are treating mental illness in this country, receive a maximum of 6 to 12 weeks of training to treat psychiatric illness, you know, compared to 4 years of training that a psychiatrist receives. And, you know, mental illnesses, unfortunately, are a little bit more complicated to diagnose because we don't have, you know, a blood test like an increased cholesterol, an increased blood sugar, the blood pressure is elevated or the pulse is elevated. We've got to rely upon a diagnostic evaluation based on the history in order to make a correct diagnosis. And, you know, most primary care physicians and nurse practitioners will spend 15 or 20 minutes in a visit to diagnose a patient with mental illness, and that often leads to misdiagnosis. For example, you know, there was a recent study earlier this year that found that 60% of patients being treated by primary care physicians with antidepressants did not meet the criteria for a diagnosis of major depression. On the other hand, there are lots of patients who have major depression who are not diagnosed as having major depression. So you have both, you know, a misdiagnosis in patients who don't have it and an underdiagnosis in patients who do.
What is the key to a proper diagnosis?
First and foremost, they've got to spend time with the patient to go through the signs and symptoms of the common psychiatric illnesses, whether it's mood disorders or anxiety disorders or psychotic disorders. And there are criteria that, you know, we have. It's called the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, that is put out by the American Psychiatric Association. And in fact, you know, interestingly enough, just earlier this year in May, a new version of DSM, the Diagnostic Manual, was introduced called DSM-5. And there have been quite a few changes in the diagnostic criteria for many of the common disorders. And that's an added wrinkle because even for psychiatrists like myself, to keep up with all the changes is an ordeal. And as you can imagine, it's 100 times worse for primary care physicians or nurse practitioners or PAs who have to familiarize themselves with other medical illnesses, not just psychiatric illnesses.
Okay, so what happens next?
You know, I think what will happen is there probably will be, you know, more, you know, minimally adequate care being provided. There'll be lots of, you know, more prescriptions written for antidepressants and pain medicines and benzodiazepines and other medicines without a thorough evaluation, because the clinician just doesn't have any time to do an evaluation with, you know, millions of patients coming into the system. And, you know, patients will not achieve remission and will not have the outcomes that we would really like to see in patients with psychiatric illnesses.
Doctor, do you believe antidepressants are being overprescribed or misprescribed?
You know, it's an interesting question. And the answer to that is in a significant minority of patients, they are prescribed and they are not necessary. But then there are an equal number of patients who have depression who don't receive any treatment at all. So I think the problem is, you know, getting the medicine to the right patients. Now it often is prescribed as, you know, first-line treatment when, you know, psychotherapy might be helpful. But, you know, it's more time-consuming to do psychotherapy. There aren't enough therapists available in the United States who are trained to do the evidence-based psychotherapies that have been found to be helpful for treating depression or anxiety disorders like cognitive behavior therapy or interpersonal psychotherapy. So, you know, the path of least resistance is, you know, you write a prescription, and now most of the antidepressants and anti-anxiety medicines are generic, and, you know, the payers say, fine, you know, we're happy to pay a few dollars each month for a prescription, but in the long run, that's not the right treatment for most patients.
So what are the solutions?
So I think there are two types of solutions. There are short-term solutions, and then there are long-term solutions. In terms of short-term solutions, unfortunately, the onus is still on the providers today to practice evidence-based psychiatric care. You know, to take advantage of resources that are available, to learn about the latest advances in the treatment of psychiatric illnesses, and there are many resources that are available. You know, we put together a resource called Global Medical Education. There's Medscape. There are other resources available. The other thing that can be utilized is technology. You know, nowadays we have what we often call the massive open online courses, the Courseras, the Udacities, the edXs of the world, where you can have trained clinicians, trained psychiatrists, educators reach, you know, tens of thousands of practicing clinicians who can be trained in psychopharmacology or in psychotherapy in the convenience of their own homes at times that are convenient to them through the use of, you know, new technology. So I think that's something that could be utilized more. It's just in its infancy. And then in terms of long-term solutions, you know, we need more providers. We need more medical students. We need more residents going into psychiatry. We need to train more psychiatric nurse practitioners because there's an acute shortage of these specialties to provide the psychiatric care that's needed. And then, you know, we need to make it more rewarding for physicians and psychiatrists to practice psychiatry. There should be, you know, few bureaucratic hurdles. There should be, you know, less paperwork. There should be, you know, the ability to practice good evidence-based medicine without, you know, hurdles put in the way so that, you know, we are attracting, you know, the best and the brightest in the field.
Where can we read more of your work?
We have a website which we put together with some of the leading psychiatrists in the world from Duke and Stanford and Columbia and Harvard. It's called Global Medical Education, and the URL is www.gmeded.com, G-M-E-D-E-D.com, and your listeners can visit the website, and, you know, we provided answers to the most common all the way to the most complicated questions for the diagnosis and treatment of psychiatric illness that's evidence-based, that's unbiased, and provided by the best in the U.S.
Dr. Musan, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thank you so much, Michael. I really appreciate the invitation.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here are some details about the missing McStay family whose bones were found in the Mojave Desert today after 4 years of being missing. Source, the Examiner, on the Savage Nation. Joseph, Summer, and their two children, Joseph and Gianni, lived in Fallbrook, a small town north of San Diego. They had been living there only 2 months before they disappeared, leaving a carton of eggs on the counter and two cereal bowls full of popcorn on the couch and the dogs in the backyard. Detective Troy Dougal said, "I absolutely know their financials and their friends better than I know my own financials and my wife's friends." What troubles the detective the most about the case is that there were 4 days that passed before the McStays assumingly crossed the border, as seen in the hazy surveillance tape. He wonders if they were staying with friends or at a hotel. Now listen to this. The day they disappeared, the wife, Summer, had made a cell phone call to a homeopathic medicine company and asked an employee for a medication called Anger, which the internet company responded it doesn't exist. I don't know what that means. Then at 7:47 p.m., the McStay's Isuzu Trooper, the same one that was found at the San Isidro shopping center, was picked up by a neighbor's surveillance tape as it passed by. The last phone call Joseph made was at 8:28 p.m. to an employee to follow up on a meeting they had earlier in the day. The employee told Dougal that it was strictly business and Joseph was calm. Now, what does the father do? That's the first thing that enters my mind. Here it is. A computer search showed that the wife, Summer, had emailed a Craigslist seller about Rosetta Stone software to learn Spanish. They were selling and that they were selling. And witnesses say they saw Joseph at a soccer game shaking hands with two men the day that the software was supposed to be picked up. Also on the computer was the queries for passport requirements and the age requirements for entering the country. Dougal believes that the surveillance tape at the border shows the McStays as the woman is wearing fur and UGG boots, which Summer had a penchant for. The man and the kids are wearing hats, which they often did. Many have guessed that the McStays were under a witness protection program, but Dougal says the FBI assures him that they are not. I believe something occurred within those four walls between the four family members that made them leave in a hurry. It may have been good, it may have been bad, I don't know, said the detective. Well, I don't know what that means. If you have any information about the McStays, you're asked to call deputies at 858-974-2321. Tips can also be called in anonymously to Crime Stoppers at 888-580-TIPS. Well, I don't know where to go with this. Something is terrible with this picture. We have America listening, at least the number of people who are on a Friday night listening to the Savage Nation. Do you have any knowledge? Do you have any theories you care to share? 855-400-7282. Let us go to George on WABC. George, what's your opinion?
Good evening, Michael. First, note, the forensics and cause of death may be a clue, but as far as witness protection, I'm in that category because the FBI would never admit to it.
Okay.
Screwed up and they put somebody under witness protection, they're going to admit it?
Okay. That's an idea. I don't know. KLIF, Texas, Patrick. Your opinion. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's real simple, man. I don't know how, but it's Pacifico cartel. I mean, it's really simple. I lived in Monterrey, Mexico for, 9 months, actually around that time, believe it or not. And, I don't know how or why, whether they're involved or whether it's random, but this is obviously a cartel move. I mean, you find
why do you say obviously when indicators would suggest that the cartels generally leave the bodies for people to be found?
Okay, well, possibly because whoever is involved in the cartel is still stateside. They obviously were stateside to begin with during the home invasion, and that's actually, I don't believe that to be true. You look at Juarez, Mexico, right on the side of El Paso, they find bodies in the desert all the time. Now, generally it is women that have been raped or whatever, but They've also used that area to, they find men, they find all kinds of people in that area.
Why would they kill a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old?
Okay, well, first, I don't know how much you know about the cartel, but they worship the angel of death. They don't believe, they don't have the same morals and values. Killing children is nothing to them. They do it all the time in their own country. It doesn't matter. I used to walk around and have to look over my shoulder just because I was an American. I mean, it's scary business there. If you go to any, and it's accepted. You go into the markets in Monterrey, Mexico, even, which is actually one of the wealthiest cities in Latin America, and you see this devil worshiping that's just accepted amongst the culture.
Gee, I wonder why the Gang of Eight in our Senate wants to bring so many of those good folks to our country.
Well, there is a lot of good folks there, but there is still that element. And once again, that element is stronger than, I'll tell you this, and this is sad, and I do not want to admit this, but in 2008, when I was in Monterrey, Mexico, as a dumb youth, I decided I was going to vote for President Obama. Called this a sign of God, but I went to the embassy in Monterrey, and it was locked down because the cartel had bombed the embassy. The federales cannot do anything to stop these people. They run that country. They run Mexico. They're stronger than the military. They're stronger than the police force. They have better weaponry, and probably a lot of that has to do with our government, Fast and Furious, so on and so forth, but it's not like it is here, in that aspect. I mean, the bad guys...
No, you mean not like it is here yet.
Well,
certainly things are changing here, and if we grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens, and we have no way to know whether this has anything to do with immigration, aliens, but I can guarantee you on that issue that this country will never, ever recover.
No, absolutely not.
This is a horrible story, and maybe I'm bumming you out. I mean, if I show you the sound that my guys collected for the day, maybe there's 50 pieces of sound here that we were going to use. Obama, this, the Nancy Pelosi, James Clyburn, Jim McDermott, some sound bites from the week of what we had done when I talked about the dangers of massage, North Korea executing 80 people, a state and horror story. We were going to do some of that. We had many other stories. But when I saw this story, I said, frankly, my mind is now so disturbed by this killing, because this is an American family. That's what I'm trying to get at. This is an average American family. I don't know what's going on in the world is what I'm saying to you. Something's wrong with the picture. What's your theory? What's your theory? That's as simple as that. 855-400-7282. Ray on WABC in New York. Go ahead. What's your theory on this murder?
Yeah, I believe that it was somebody who noticed them and needed a vehicle to get down to the border. And you said they had like an SUV?
Yeah.
I believe that they just, because now you're telling me the dogs are in the yard, they just knocked on the door with a gun and grabbed them all. And once they achieved getting to where they were, they no longer had any use for them, so they just killed them all. Just so that
it could be felons fleeing back across the border, saw a house with a car in a driveway, and random, knocked on the door or broke in a door, took them, throw them in the car, and that's the end of the story. It could be.
My gut feeling. Because I live in New York City, and an incident like that happened to where somebody got caught, but it just so happened that there was another man in the house, and he had a gun. So they ran.
Well, don't tell that to the liberals who are gunophobes. You know, to a liberal, a gun is a bad thing. To a conservative, a gun is life and death.
Savage.